Thank you, Mike. Good choice of songs there. Good morning to each and every one of you. A nice sunny day you can enjoy. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. What I'd like for us to think about for a short time here this morning is the aspect of recompense, being recompensed to God. And along with that, I'd like for us to look at, well, sort of mixed in with it is the aspect of reconciliation, to be reconciled to God through the death of His Son. And then rewards. The Scripture speaks about rewards. I'm going to read a few verses in Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 1, therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. But if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. Now let's turn over to chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and begin reading at verse 28 through 31. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm going to look at different aspects of the word recompense. I looked up the word in Vine's dictionary words, and he had this to say. Recompense means restitution, to restore, to pay, to make amends. So it has the thought of restoring, to make things right. And no matter what it is, what situation it is in that God wants us to realize that He wants to restore. And as Isaiah 36 says, he restores that which he took not away. And the Lord did not take away, he gave. But man was the one that took away. And it was the time that in the garden when man fell in sin, when man rebelled against God, and man needs to be restored, his relationship to God. And that's God's desire this morning for each one of you, that we be restored to him. Perhaps you've fallen into sin, or your life is not right before God. Things you need to get right. God wants us to come before Him and to repent and recompense our relationship to Him. 1 John chapter 1 and so on speaks of that, how we can be restored as a believer to God. As an unbeliever, you first need to be reconciled, recognizing that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, and bow the knee and receive Christ as your Savior. That's where it all starts. Reconciliation to God through the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no way that we could pay for our sin, is it? We couldn't give enough money. We couldn't spend enough time. We couldn't do enough things to pay for our sin, to recompense ourselves to God. It's impossible. Paul says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the great verdict that Paul says there in Romans, as it came down to the whole world, is guilty before God. Man, as a result of sin, needs to be restored. In this portion in Hebrews chapter 2, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You know, sometimes you hear a lot of things, and, you know, things that are just mundane, and they're just things that you do or you talk about and so on, or perhaps something that you do that you know you really don't give a whole lot of thought to because you just do it. In a job and at home and many, many things involved in our lives in which we just do. But the writer here is reminding us that we need more earnest heed. We need to take a deeper look at things. We need to ponder the things that we've heard. We need to look very carefully at some of these things that is written in chapter 1 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give a more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, the things that are spoken, the things I believe he's referring to in chapter 1 concerning the revelation of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. I am to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. The whole aspect of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, his relationship with the Father as the Son of God, we need to take a more earnest heed. God spoke through angels and hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, or through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is what the writer is saying. We need to take heed to this, not just take it for granted, but let it sink down into your heart and mind. And you know, sometimes we may do things, and as I was saying, and you it's just a thing you do, and then sometimes you'll stop and think, you know, what? Why am I doing this? Or how could I do this better? Or should I take another look at something? Maybe look a little deeper about what I'm doing. And you know, that's the type of attitude we need to have as a believer. That when we become complacent when we just go along with the flow and just something that we do, we need to be very careful because we can slip. We need to stop and think, what does the Word of God really mean to me? What does my relationship to the Lord really mean to me? Am I spending time in His Word? Am I growing in the Lord? Or am I just making tracks and just going along? We need to take an earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time should let them slip. It's easy for them to slip away. The things that God has revealed in His Word and how He wants us to live and to conduct ourselves in the world in which we're living. Easy to let them slip away and to be gone unless we take heed to what God has to say. And if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense of reward. There's reward of sin. But unfortunately, those rewards are simply pleasure. The only reward of this world is the earthly pleasures of this world. Every transgression and disobedience received a just compensation of reward. You know, it's sin leaves its mark, doesn't it? And the just recompense of God is the only way the true reward is given. God calls sin, sin, transgression. Disobedience received for His just recompense reward. See, it's God's desire that all would be saved and that all would know the reward of knowing Christ and being recompensed, being restored to God through the death of His Son. That's what God's desire is. But sin brings earthly rewards. Salvation brings heavenly rewards that are for eternity. The earthly rewards will pass away, but God's rewards are eternal. They're lasting. They count for eternity. It's a grave difference when we see the transgression and the disobedience. The reward will be separation from God. And the writer speaks in verse 13, and how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You see, he's setting forth the scene to be restored to God, to be recompensed to Him, is the only true way of salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I remember talking with Bill Sacker years ago, and he used to go to the prison and speak at different times, and some of you knew Bill Sacker. And he had quite a testimony for the Lord. He worked on the mail train from New York to Buffalo. And he'd often tell how he would pass out tracts, and especially when he'd go into New York City, sometimes he would have a evangelistic meeting in the corner or something as he was waiting for the train. He said one time he was going to prison to speak, and he began with this subject. My subject today is, how shall we escape? Of course, he got ears right away at everybody's attention. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There isn't any way that man can escape. There's no way out. The only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Was spoken by him, the spoken word of the Lord. The spoken word. The word of God was spoken by angels. Now his word is spoken by his Son, through his Son, Jesus Christ. It was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. It was confirmed. There were those that heard him. They were witnesses of him. They were with him. The disciples were with him in his ministry here on earth. In his resurrection, he was seen of 500 brethren and others, the others that were there. There were those that were witnesses of him, witnesses of the gospel, and bearing them witness both with signs and wonders. Diverse miracles. The miracles that the Lord Jesus performed while he was here on earth. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. These are things that we need to hear. That we need to give heed to. These are things that we need to take note and to realize that they're to be not just heard, but to be understood and to be taken in, not just hearers, but doers and things in our lives. Because that's what God wants to do. We're going to look at the aspect of man's man's reconciliation one to another. Let's turn to Romans Chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I can find it here. Romans 12 and verse 9. We're going to read verse 9. In the first part of the chapter here, we see the gifts that God has given to every man, and so on, in the body of Christ. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul speaks of the gifts, following that, in 1 Corinthians 13, we have the love chapter. Gifts properly exercised must be mixed with love. Someone has said that love is the oil that keeps the machine running. It keeps the body of Christ running. Keeps it in motion and keeps it flowing in unity and in harmony together. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to to that which is good. Verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much that lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. To recompense one with another. To keep the relationship one with another as a believer in harmony with God, we must realize that if a relationship is broken, it must be recompensed. It must be restored. We see in many aspects of the world, businesses many places in working relationships one with another, with fellow man, that relationships sometimes can struggle, can be a struggle, and sometimes personalities and things can come into play. And sometimes they can be strained. In every aspect in which we find you work in a business, in a factory, or in a, you own a business, your relationship with employees, and then we come down to the believers. Our relationship one with another. You know, Paul says, abhor that which is evil, but cleave to that which is good. Someone may do something evil against you. Intentionally do evil against you. But we're to cleave into that which is good. To recompense no man evil for evil. If someone has wronged you, whatever it might be, Paul says that we're not to restore or to return the same evil. Don't do evil because someone has done evil to you. Don't try or don't do evil against that person that has wronged you. We're not to do that as a believer. But we're to recompense. We're to restore. We're to love that one. Someone has wronged us. God wants us to love them. To still love them. To show love to them. And Paul says that if your enemy hungers, feed him. Complete opposite. Someone who intentionally did evil against you, you're still, if he has a need of hunger, you're to give him food and feed him. That's not our human nature, is it? I probably, you know, in the flesh, probably give into the flesh, the old nature, and maybe would think some, you know, not so good of thoughts against them. That would be our old nature. That's what the nature from Adam and Satan would want us to respond first. That's how he would want us to respond. But God says, no, you don't respond that way. You recompense good to evil. Cleave to the good. And you know, in assemblies, there can be strife and divisions. There can be unity is strained and harmony together. And I'm thankful for the assembly. I'm thankful for the unity together as the body of Christ here at the chapel. And it's something that needs work, doesn't it? We can't just take it for granted. We need to have that spirit of esteeming others better than ourselves. And have the spirit of giving to others and looking out for others more than ourselves. And for the sake of the work of God and the unity of the body together, to strive together, to labor together for the cause of Christ. The gospel might go forth and not be hindered. Strife, divisions, all these things can destroy, can break apart, can hinder the work of God. But I'm thankful that only through him, through the Lord himself, who's the head of the body, who's the controlling head, if we look to him, and him being in his rightful place, there'll be unity and harmony together. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. It's a way of showing him good amongst evil. Perhaps that one was looking for evil against himself, that one would just automatically bring evil against me who has wronged him. But no, the child of God is to bring good and to seek to overwhelm him with good. He heaps coals of fire. He's seeking to restore a right relationship, and in doing so, that he might gain the relationship again. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let evil overcome you. Don't pay with evil. You can't do it. But to overcome evil with good. Good will always outweigh the evil in God's eyes. And God wants us to recompense one with another. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking to the disciples. When men shall revile against you and persecute you and say all manner of things against you, falsely for my sake. What are we to do? To rejoice. How can you rejoice when all these things are brought against you falsely? They're false. They're not true. And that comes, of course, from the influence of the world and the ways of the world. These are things that are heaped upon from the things of the world, the false accusations of the world. In spite of all of this, the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Not just glad, but exceeding glad. How can you be glad in the midst of persecution? It's not our nature to do that. But that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to be rejoiced because great is your reward in heaven. It's great reward. And as I was looking at this and a few thoughts, it's a great is a reward in heaven. Not just your reward is in heaven, but great is your reward in heaven. It's hard for us to really comprehend it. And you know, perhaps maybe we don't really ponder enough about the reward that we will receive one day. God is the one who gives the rewards. The Lord Jesus Christ will, at the judgment seat of Christ, when believers will be judged for the things that are done in their body, whether good or bad, and rewards will be given out. But you see, we need to wait for our reward. A lot of times we don't want to wait, do we? I get very impatient and I want things to happen right away. I stand and watch the microwave and watch the dial, the time go down, and oh, it's over. We're very impatient, aren't we? We like things now. We want to see things now. But you see, great is your reward in heaven. It's something to look forward to. Something that ought to motivate us. Something that ought to cause us to recompense with one another, to have that relationship one with another and with God. That has rewards not only now, but in the future. In glory. There's rewards in heaven. And, you know, great is your reward in heaven. Oh, that we might just exercise ourselves in our lives day by day, that we'll show to others that we genuinely mean in our lives day by day that Christ is the only one who wants to be center of our lives. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul says. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You know, in the thought of restitution or recompense, remember when Zacchaeus accepted Christ? Right away, he wanted to restore the relationship, to restore the money to those ones that he had stolen from. Not just the same amounts or twice or three times, but four times he wanted to restore the money to those that he had stolen from. Four times he wanted to restore the relationship with those in whom he had hurt. The Apostle Paul, when he got saved, how he retraced his past, how he saw everything that he had done, what he had done against the believers, that his relationship was restored to God. He was a new man, a new person in Christ Jesus. David cried out to God, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." As David wept on his knees and cried out to God for forgiveness. This is what we need. We need to return to the things that we need to take heed to, and lest they slip away. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for all that he's done for us. Lord, help us to, in a feeble way, in our feeble mind, in our feeble ways, we're so unworthy, and you've done it all for us. There's nothing we have to do. You paid the debt, Lord, for our sin, a debt we couldn't pay. And Father, we thank you that your Son was our substitute in coming and reconciling us unto yourself. Help us, we pray, and we give you thanks for all that you've done for us. And bless this day, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.